Today we are talking about technology. We begin our newsworthy clips article, and we are talking about the company Siemens, and there's so much going on. You're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom, and my name is Brandon, and today I have two panelists here in the studio with me. Welcome, Linda, and welcome, Josh.
Hi.
Hi, Brandon. It's great to be here.
Yes, and there's a lot going on in this article today, and we're glad to have some help here. I'm glad to have some help here because there's a lot to talk about here, isn't there, Josh?
There is a lot to talk about, and it's very exciting, all of the new things that are being made possible by advances in technology, but some of those advances, unless you've really kind of like gone along with them, kind of just sound like magic.
Yeah, that's right. And this particular article, you actually may want to do further research because there's so much packed into one day. And actually, as I was doing research, I found a lot of this to be very interesting. And I'm sure, Linda, you maybe think the same thing. As you were looking at this, there's a lot to take in. And if you go into each one, you can have a whole other article about each topic.
Really. Yeah, there's so many different things that are introduced here or talked about that you definitely can do some extra research and learn more about these things on your own.
Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about the company Siemens. The title says Siemens shows off its highest tech. And so as we go into this article, you will see we are talking about high-tech devices and so forth.
Right. And so we wouldn't normally consider or say like highest tech because that's sort of a comparative that we don't really use. We just say high tech. When something is like very, very advanced, we just call it high tech. But here, the author is talking about how Siemens is really showing off like the most innovative and exciting things that they've been working on.
And this corporation is actually one of the world's largest producers of energy efficient resource saving technologies. This is according to their website. And if you go onto their website, you will see all the different things they are doing. They have some very cool videos that you can check out. And, you know, it's a high tech company. So there's a lot of interesting things to research there and to find out if you want to go onto their website. If you have your magazine, we invite you to open it to page 32. Or if you have your digital device, you can follow along there as well. Right now, we will have our first reading for today.
Siemens shows off its highest tech. What's been ruminating lately at Siemens USA's R&D division? A cloud-based Internet of Things, IoT, operating platform called MindSphere, with the potential to efficiently run smart cities. Additive manufacturing technologies that create digital twin computerized emulations, speeding the development of new and better component parts by as much as 300 times faster than the norm. Industrial robots that think for themselves, changing job duties at the drop of a hat or part. Street sensors embedded in roadways and vehicle-to-vehicle communications technology to make autonomous vehicles work better and more safely. Smart sensors and software for buildings that predict part failure before the lights go out or the heat goes off. Hybrid e-aircraft being co-developed with Airbus that could bring 100-seat gas-electric-fueled planes to market by 2030, triggering the third aviation revolution.
Well, Josh, a lot's been going on there at Siemens. What exactly are they doing? What do we learn? What's the first question asked here?
Well, the first question is, what's been ruminating lately at Siemens USA's R&D division?
Okay, when we talk about ruminating, we're talking about thinking about something, right?
Yes, thinking long and hard about something.
Okay, and so you can imagine a company like this with all that they're doing, and if you're a part of the R&D division, the research and development division, you will be thinking a lot, trying to come up with new ideas.
Exactly. The R&D department is the department of any company that is charged with both making existing ideas or products better, as well as developing new ones.
Okay, and so that's what they're doing here, and we get a list of things here. And, you know, they show these things off at these trade shows. We're going to learn later they had this innovation day and so forth. And so you can see a lot of these new ideas put on a stage, a platform, so to speak. The first one we're talking about is called MindSphere, and we get a description of that here, Linda.
Yeah, it's a cloud-based Internet of Things operating platform, and mm-hmm. it has the potential to efficiently run smart cities.
Now, we've talked about the Internet of Things before, or it's often called IoT, and that, of course, is just connecting devices over the Internet. They talk to each other, applications, you know, kind of communicate with devices and so forth, and so we're used to that. But then we're going to something here called MindSphere.
So MindSphere is a operating platform, so very similar to like an operating platform that you would have on your phone. Like Apple has its own operating platform for an Apple phone. Many other smartphones use Android as its operating mm-hmm. platform. So this is software product development with the potential to run smart cities. So in a city where you have many things connected through the Internet of Things because they are able to transmit information, that this is a platform that will allow these different things to operate together.
Okay, so they're gathering information from many different sources, which will allow for better efficiency. And so these cities, and you see a photo there on the bottom of page 32, and you see all of these different things connected. The idea is to share information to allow these cities to be more efficient, and technology, of course, plays a major role.
It does. So maybe a good example to kind of like illustrate what they're trying to do here. So a smart city, I don't think we're quite there yet, mm-hmm. but I think we're moving towards it. So, for example, what maybe we might have a little bit more common is a smart refrigerator. So mm-hmm. say you have a refrigerator that is connected to the Internet that can tell when you don't have any more eggs in the egg tray. Mm-hmm. So then you are at the store and you don't remember if you have eggs or not. So you check your app on your phone and your refrigerator can tell you that, yes, indeed, the egg tray is empty. So you should buy some more eggs, right? So that's example kind of like how something that's connected to the Internet of Things can make daily duties a little bit easier. Now, if you make it bigger, to like citywide, let's say that there are sensors throughout the city that can tell if there's a fire. Mm-hmm. So something catches on fire, and then what the smart city can do is that it can change all the traffic signals, the traffic mm-hmm. lights, mm-hmm. to help route fire trucks to the area of the fire without having to involve people.
Wow.
So that would be an example of how a smart city could be more efficient and beneficial to everybody.
I really like the refrigerator example because, of course, I love to eat food. So, but I wish, you know, it could just, if I'm out of ice cream, it could just replace it instantly. Maybe.
Well, it's possible
super smart.
That it could tell Amazon that you're
right.
out of ice cream.
Yes.
And
then Amazon can fly a drone straight to your house, which drops it into the refrigerator chute, and then the next thing you know, you have ice cream.
The time I get home from work, there's my cookies and cream ice cream.
Talk about efficiency.
Yeah. All right, now the next one we have here is additive manufacturing technologies. Now, as you read through these, you might be thinking, what in the world is all of this talking about? Because if you're not a tech person, it can be overwhelming, but we're going to try to break some of this down for you. First of all, when we think of additive, we think of adding to something. You can have additives in food and so forth. But here we're talking about, of course, technology and this idea of additive manufacturing technologies. And that involves 3D objects, and you add layer upon layer. You know, think of 3D printing. We've talked about that before. And there is layer upon layer being added. You can use this for materials such as plastic, metal, and so forth, and hopefully, you know, even human tissue. And I think maybe they've even started doing that. We've talked about these things. But here we're talking about computer software, right?
Well, yeah. So you'll notice that they use the word, it's a specialized term, emulations. So the first time I was ever really familiar with a computerized emulator was a piece of software that allowed me to create an environment on my computer that allowed me to play video games just like the video game you would see in a video game arcade. So like say, for example, a real famous video game is like the Street Fighter games or Asteroid or Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an emulator that basically recreated the system software that allowed me to play these video games on my PC just like it was a real video game in the video game arcade. Well, that's a type of emulator.
Mm-hmm.
So when you emulate something, you're kind of like creating something artificially through computer software that very closely copies or mimics another system or another real-world thing.
Okay.
So here, they're talking about an additive manufacturing technology that adds to the manufacturing process by allowing you to create these computer-simulated models that very closely copy real-world situations. So if you're trying to build a plane, what you can do is, instead of building just a prototype and kind of like figure out how it all goes together, you can do that first digitally, work out the process, so you kind of like work out all the kinks of the process, and then because you know that the system that that emulated this process is very accurate, you can then implement that into a real-world manufacturing situation where it very much streamlines the process and the cost of it.
Okay. So basically they're using this idea of emulations, different systems coming together to make it more efficient, right?
Yeah, sort of like for people who are familiar with Star Trek, they have a simulator where they can create like literal worlds that they can try things out in that don't damage anything.
Right.
So it's kind of the same idea. You're making a digital 3D twin copy of this process that you want to go through. So you're able to really make the process super, super functional and efficient before you actually involve real-world materials.
Yeah, efficiency is the key here, I think,
exactly.
Because they are hoping to speed up the development and so forth. And then the next point we go to is industrial robots, Linda.
Yes, ones that think for themselves, changing job duties at the drop of a hat. And at the drop of a hat, we just mean with very short notice, almost immediately, if you have to do something at the drop of a hat.
And then industrial robots, we think of a robot maybe in our home, but these are probably in factories. And so they are working, which could be controversial because they could be taking jobs, right? And so some people may not like that. But we've talked about robots and so forth a lot in the past. But here they are just working on that and mostly for factories or something like that, not so much for the home. Of course, that's being worked on as well. Next, we move on to street sensors, Josh.
Yeah, so street sensors that are embedded in roadways in order to help vehicle-vehicle communication for autonomous vehicles. So this is kind of cool. They're talking about putting sensors in the road itself, so like in the concrete or in the asphalt, and those sensors can then communicate with vehicles that are designed to drive themselves in order to make them safer and more accurate. So if you have a autonomous vehicle, that's a self-driving vehicle, and many of those vehicles require, you know, cameras and lasers in order to be able to tell what's going on in the environment around them. Well, here they're talking about also adding sensors into the roadway that can communicate with those vehicles so that they know where they're at and what's going on. So anything from position to maybe, oh, I'm covered with 2 inches of ice, so you need to slow down.
Okay, yes, because I was wondering, what are they communicating?
Right.
What are they saying? So that's quite interesting. And then we have the next one also talks about smart sensors and software for buildings that predict part failure before the lights go out or the heat goes off, which this, Linda, I think would be very helpful because you will know something's going to happen, hopefully, before it happens.
Right. You don't want the lights going out on you or losing electricity or heat or, you know, air conditioning. You want to be able to know about that before it happens so you can prevent it.
I so want to know the air conditioning is going to go out before it happens.
Mm.
It's really important. But this is very cool stuff. So knowing, having sensors in the materials to know when they're about to break before they break is I think, something that would really be, you know, life-changing for a lot of people.
This would also be great on a vehicle if
right?
they have this and it helps mm-hmm. you. And they already, they have some warning signs, mm-hmm. you know, the check engine light and so forth. But it would be great to have something that say, hey, you know, the brakes are going to go out or something else.
Right. So it was that, more specific
right.
because that check engine could refer to many things.
Right.
And I just want to mention here with the language that predict part failure. So this is not partial failure. When we say part failure, we mean that mm-hmm. a particular part of a mm-hmm. system or a car or a building is about to fail.
Yes, good point. And the next one here is the hybrid e-aircraft, and I believe that E stands for electronic. So we, you know, we're used to using gas, but more and more we're using electricity. And so that's what they're working on with this hybrid e-aircraft, and it's being co-developed with Airbus. And what will it do?
It would bring 100-seat gas electric-fueled planes to the market by 2030. And this would trigger the third aviation revolution.
So they're calling it a revolution, potentially could be a revolution. So it's big, a big change.
Right. And they don't mean necessarily that the airplanes are going to rise up and take over. But what it could mean, though, is so with commercial aviation, one of the biggest costs is fuel prices.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are able to significantly reduce operating costs by, you know, cutting fuel prices or fuel consumption in half, that would then again make airline flight even cheaper than it is today.
Yes,
and accessible
awesome.
For many, many people. So that's one of the big revolutions that happened with commercial air flight, is that it went from something that was just a luxury to something that was really accessible to a lot of people. And if they're able to significantly reduce the cost and while extending the range, that would make it accessible for even more people.
But it looks like this will be for maybe domestic flights because it's only 100 seats on the plane.
That's
so
true.
Starting off small.
Starting off small. Although if you take a small plane that only fits 100 people, but works well because it's lighter, so you don't need as much fuel, but then you add a bunch of solar cells. So that while it's in flight, it can help also produce its own electricity. It might be able to dramatically increase the range mm-hmm. while reducing the cost. And even though it's a smaller airplane, it means that they could fly further with less people and still make it make sense as far as income that comes in.
All right. Well.
And it would create less pollution, right?
Because and yes. it would create less pollution. Right?
Yeah. So there's a lot of good things here. Lots of different things involving technology and a lot to take in. But we have more. So let's go to our next reading for today.
From industries to hospitals, Siemens is everywhere. Siemens USA put on quite a Blue Ribbon Innovation Day in Princeton, New Jersey, touting its hottest high-tech digital visions for visiting financial analysts and a few media representatives. The industrial powerhouse has been impacting the U.S. since Wernher von Siemens laid the first transatlantic cable 160 years ago. In 2016, Siemens enjoyed U.S. revenues of $23.7 billion, including $5.4 billion in product exports. All possible because Siemens has hands in so many pies. Almost everyone experiencing a serious medical exam or hospital stay encounters a high-end Siemens imaging or diagnostics machine, from CT scanners to its new non-invasive magnetic resonance imaging solution for prostate exams that's going to save many a pain in the posterior. Judy Marks, CEO of Siemens USA, asserted no other industrial giant is better suited to big-time smart cities data crunching and systems tuning than Siemens, given all the built-in sensors and software analytics driving its industrial-grade heavy machinery and medical gear, the artificial intelligence we've been developing for decades.
All right, Siemens is everywhere, from industries to hospitals, and Siemens USA put on quite a show. And we have a phrase here called blue ribbon. What is that referring to, Linda?
It's referring to something that is of excellent or superior quality, and a literal blue ribbon would be given to as a prize. Like if you entered a fair or a contest and you won, then you would be given a blue ribbon. I used to be very proud of my blue ribbons that I got.
What did you get a blue ribbon
for? Well, for different things, like for artwork, for poetry, for, crafts.
Nice.
Did you ever get a blue ribbon? Or even spelling contests?
I don't think so. So sad.
Not even for, like, cupcakes or baking or anything?
Yeah, cooking.
Maybe for perfect attendance or something.
You usually get a certificate for that.
Yeah, okay, I'm just trying to make it fit. All right. But moving on, we see here that Siemens was involved with something called Innovation Day. This was in Princeton, New Jersey. And they were kind of showing off there, weren't they, Josh?
They were. So they were touting their hottest high-tech digital visions. So that is kind of, when you tout something, it is kind of showing it off.
Or promoting something.
Promoting is maybe a better word. Mm-hmm.
They were promoting their hottest high-tech digital visions for visiting financial analysts and some media representatives. So those were the people there. And of course, you know, those media representatives are there and they can go tell other people, tell the world what's going on, right?
Sure.
And that's, we have this article here. And so that helps us all to understand what is going on. And we get more information about Siemens here, and it's called an industrial powerhouse.
Right, and it has been impacting the U.S. since, I believe, its founder, Werner von Siemens, laid the first transatlantic cable 160 years ago.
Okay, so first, they're called a powerhouse. They're you know, something that they're influential. And we can see that they're influential, this company, because of all that they are doing. And, of course, the original meaning of powerhouse can be something that generates electricity, a powerhouse and that sort of thing. And that's very fitting descriptive word for this because, you know, they're involved with technology and, you know, generating energy, but they're also influential. So a perfect word to describe this company. And they have been impacting the U.S. And we talked about their founder here, Werner von Siemens, and he was a German engineer, inventor, and pioneer. Okay, and so this idea of laying the first transatlantic cable 160 years ago, what is that referring to, Josh?
Well, it's quite simply, they took a big cable and stretched it from Europe to the United States. And these are cables that are involved in transmitting communications.
And it was linked to telegraph, right? The telegraph cable.
The first one was the telegraph cable. So that's back in the day where people would communicate using code, Morse code, of just dots and dashes in order to represent words.
Okay. And so this company goes way back, basically. So they've been around a long time. Tell us about their revenue in 2016, Linda.
Well, they enjoyed U.S. revenues of $23.7 billion, and this includes $5.4 billion in product exports.
But worldwide, they actually had $88.1 billion in revenue, and that was in the fiscal year of 2016. And so they're making a lot of money, Josh.
They are making a lot of money, and here they say that's possible because Siemens has hands in so many pies. So this is an idiom that we don't usually use with hands. Usually we use it with fingers. So if you say that someone has their fingers in many different pies, It just means that they're involved in many, many different things.
All right. And many people, they have encountered something that Siemens has had their hands in, right? We get some examples here. CT scanners. What is that, Linda?
Right. So in the hospital, you might need to get a scan for the doctors to see what's going on. It's not used, so they might need to use a CT scanner. They also might need to use an MRI.
Right, so this MRI, or the magnetic resonance imaging, is similar to a CT scanner in that it gets a picture of what's going on in the body, but it uses magnetism and electromagnetic energy in order to get pictures of soft tissue instead of like bone and hard tissue.
But this is a new non-invasive machine that they're using. And so,
well, they're talking here about prostate exams, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of MRIs involves a big, huge machine. You put your entire body in order to get a picture of the soft tissue. Mainly it's used for the brain to get an mm-hmm. idea of what's happening in the brain. But here they're talking about the prostate, which is a very small gland that men have that sometimes will turn cancerous.
It's near your bladder.
Exactly.
Okay, so they go on to talk about, it's going to save many people pain in the posterior. What is that talking about, Linda?
Right, so we often say pain in the butt or pain in the rear. So
right.
something that's just, troublesome, a hassle, difficult to deal with.
Right. Okay, and so moving on, we hear from the CEO of Siemens USA. And her name is Judy Marks, and she asserted no other industrial giant is better suited to do all of this, to take on the data crunching and the systems tuning, and they are really doing a lot. And she goes on and talks about why, and given all the built-in sensors and software analytics driving its industrial-grade heavy machinery. In other words, they have the tools to do the job.
Exactly. And so a company that's already involved in all these aspects would be the one that would be best to tie them all together.
All right. Well, we are out of time for day one of our Newsworthy Clips article. We hope you will join us again tomorrow for day two. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.